Well, here in Luke chapter 4, I'm going to talk about our Lord's temptation. Our Lord's temptation. And it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil." Now, when we look at that word tempt or tempted, it has two different meanings from the Scriptures. And the word tempt comes from two different sources. When God, the Scripture says in Genesis 17, when God did tempt Abraham, that means that God did try Abraham. God tried him. God tried him. And God's trials are always, always for our good. Always for good. Never hurt you. They may be grievous for a moment, but they never hurt you in the long run. For we know that all things work together for good to them. And here's the qualification. Love God. People that love God. And there is a people that love God. They desire Him. They need Him. They acknowledge Him. And are they called? Been called from this world. Been called from sin. Been called from Satan. Been called from the bondage of the law, been called according to the purpose of God. So that's who it's, and it works. It's going to work. It did for Abraham. And the Scriptures tells us that our trying of our faith, being much more precious than of gold, much more precious than of gold, it'll be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you look with me over in Job chapter 23. I want you to see something just a moment. God tries us. He tries us. Our faith has to be tried, not to make it stronger, not even to make it better. What it does is it purifies it and proves it to be the real thing. You know, whenever they have counterfeit money, everybody can't recognize counterfeit money. Only certain people can. And if you put it under a microscope, then you see people that can look at it and say, "Now this is the flaw right here." You see, and me and you wouldn't see it. We'd take it for the real thing. And that's the way it is that God tries us. And when He tries a man, if he's got the real faith, he'll stand. If he doesn't have the real thing, he'll eventually fall under the trial. And that's what the trials are for. To purify us, to try us as gold, to make us come out more honorable, more glorifying to Him. In Job 23:10, it says this, "But He knoweth." He knoweth. God knows the way that I take. And watch this. "When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Oh, Job said, "Everything's happened to me. God just put me in the furnace. God just trying me." And that's why Simon Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which shall try you." You see, and I'll tell you this much too. God's people want to be tried. They want to be tried. If they're not real, they want to find it out. If their faith is not true, they want to find it out. If there's any hypocrisy in them, they want it exposed. If there's any sin in them that they think is about to overthrow them, they want God to bring it out in the light. That's what David said in Psalm 139:23, "Search me. Try me. And if there be any evil way in me, take the reins and prove it. Save me from it. Save me from it." So to try, to tempt or to try, is God's what God does. When He does it, it's always for our good. But the other word, tempt, is also to entice. And that's what Satan did here to our Lord Jesus Christ. To entice as Satan tempted Christ. And Satan's enticements are always for evil. Never means them for good. Always for destruction. Always. And every way he's described in the Scriptures tells us that. You know, when Job was worshiping God, and Satan said, "If you'll take that hedge down around from him, I'll make him curse you." God tries us to make us praise Him and look to Him. Satan tries us to make us turn against God. He entices us to draw us away from God. And he's a serpent for his subtlety. He's an angel of light for his ability to mix among us. He's a roaring lion to intimidate us, going about seeking whom he may what? Devour. Chew up. And oh my, as a roaring lion to devour us and to growl at us and to intimidate us and to frighten us. And he's also called a dragon. Dragon for his power and his hugeness and his intimidating power. And he's a master beguiler. He beguiled our mother Eve through his subtlety. Through his subtlety. And so you see, and that's what he's doing here. He is enticing our Lord Jesus Christ. He is enticing, tempting our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the time of our Lord's temptation. Back over here in verse 21 of chapter 3. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized in praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which says, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. You see, the time that his trial took place, the time that his temptation took place, it was after the heavens was opened. It was after the Holy Spirit had descended upon him. It was after God, Him, Father, Him said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You see, there's always an order to the temptations or the enticements of the devil. First of all, he's owned by the Father. This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in Him. And then he's anointed by the Holy Spirit. It says here that he's being full of the Spirit. By the Spirit led him into the wilderness to go there to be alone. And so it's when you're owned by the Father, anointed by the Spirit, then that's when you're going to be tempted of the devil. And the Scripture says that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the time was after a great blessing. The time was after the heavens were opened. A time was after he being full of the Holy Spirit. A time was after he was owned to the Father. And you see, it was after Paul had been caught up to the third heaven that God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It was after God's testimony of Job, and he said, If you consider my servant Job a just and an upright man, a perfect man who eschews evil, and there's not a man on the earth like him. It was after God owned Job, and God's testimony of Job, that Satan said, I can destroy him. I can make him turn against you. And it's only after God owns us. That's my child. That's my beloved. That's one that I shed my blood for. And it's only after the Holy Spirit comes upon us and anoints us and takes His dwelling place in us that Satan tries us. You see, He don't have to try us. He don't have to tempt us when we're unconverted. We're already His servants. We're already slaves of sin. But He despises giving up His palace. He don't want to give up His dwelling place. And God says, they're mine. And when that happens, look out. It may be a while, but look out. It's going to happen. And look at the place this took, the place that this temptation happened at. It was in the wilderness. He was led, in verse 1, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is the same place where John the Baptist spent his early years, where he was raised, where he spent his time before he came out preaching. And oh my, it was in the wilderness where our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, where His temptation took place, where His great fight with the devil took place. Adam was tempted in paradise. He was surrounded by Eve. He had the fellowship of God every day. And here our Lord Jesus Christ is in the wilderness. And if Satan overthrew our parents in the Garden of Eden, in the paradise, well, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to overcome Satan in exactly the opposite place. Not in paradise, but in the wilderness where you and I live and where He's got to destroy everything that's against us.
Amen.
Ain't that right? And you know, it's in the wilderness that He goes and finds His lost sheep, you know. But here our Master goes along, led by the Spirit into the desert. goes out there among the wild beasts, goes out into the wilderness, all alone. And all of our Lord's battles, all of them must be fought alone. He must fight every single one of them by himself. And he was all alone in the wilderness. And for 40 days the devil tempted. We've only got three things that it says here that he did with him. But 40 days he was tempted in type of the devil. And he's alone in the wilderness with the devil. So everything our Lord did, he had to do it alone. When he went to the garden, he was alone in the garden. Huh? When he was alone with the cup that God gave him and he must drink. He was alone in the wide press of God's wrath. He was alone on the cross when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was alone, beloved, because the Scripture says he by himself purged our sins by himself alone. And he went into the wilderness alone.
Amen.
Alone. Thank God. And soul battles, the battles that we go through in our souls, and that's where Christ is going through the battle. Soul battles are solemn battles. And I got this blessed news for you. The only place that you and I will ever be tempted is in this wilderness right here. There's a blessed day. We sung it tonight. Huh? We sung it tonight. There I'll bathe my weary soul in scenes of heavenly rest. Huh? There I'm going to bathe it. There my soul. I bathe it in the blood of Christ. I bathe it in the finished work of Christ. I bathe it in the satisfaction of Christ. I bathe it in the substitutionary death of Christ. I bathe it in the righteousness of Christ. I bathe it in the obedience of Christ. And oh, one of these days, because I bathe it here and there, I bathe it in seas of heavenly rest one of these days in His holy presence. And you will too. Huh? Look over at 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 10. Oh, the only place we're ever going to have these soul battles. Soul battles. Is here in this wilderness. Our Lord went into the wilderness to have this battle. Our Lord went in there alone. Then I'll tell you this, and He was alone, but He never leaves us alone to fight our battles.
No, sir.
Ain't you thankful for that? Huh? He don't. When you and I are in a soul battle, when you have those fightings within and fears without, and fears within and fightings without, when you have this temptation to throw in the towel, when you have this temptation and enticement to say, God, I just don't like the way you're doing. I don't like what's going on. I don't think I can make it. I'm gonna give it up. I'm gonna give up my preaching. I'm gonna give up the church. I'm gonna give up my profession. I'm gonna give it all up. I just don't have the strength to carry on anymore. Oh my. He does not never leave us alone. And if we're one for whom He died, I guarantee you. You know, I said that the other day. You got this old sorry thing that they talked about, you know. And fella seen two footprints and he was so heavy, and all of a sudden he seen one. You know. Lord, where was you at? And they said, well, I picked you up and carried you the rest of the way. No. There ain't been one set of footprints that we won't follow in this world. Old John Bunyan said, and he talked about all the things that he looked forward to going to glory. He said, here I beheld His footsteps. There I sat at His feet. Here I tried to walk in them. There I put my arms around them. But all look here in 1 Corinthians. This is the only place we're going to be tempted. Only place we're going to be enticed. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation, no enticement, no burden taken you but such as is common to man. I mean, everybody goes through something. Somewhere somebody's going exactly what we all go through. But God is faithful. There it is. And listen to this, who will not suffer you to be tempted, enticed above that what you're able. He just won't do it. He'll put no more weight on you than you're able to bear. He'll put you in no position that you can't stand. Watch this now. But we'll, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. And wherefore flee from idolatry. You know what that idolatry is? Leaning to your own self and your own understanding and not trusting Him. Well, let's look back over in our Luke 4. Look at the one who was tempted. Look at who it was. It was the time was when He was full of the Holy Ghost, when the Father had anointed Him with the Holy Ghost, when the Father had on Him. The place was out in the wilderness all alone. And then it says Jesus. Jesus. You know who was tempted? Who Satan was enticing here? Jesus. Our Lord Jesus in His humanity. And Satan was trying to overthrow Him, not in His humanity, but in His position as the Son of God. Also, look down in verse 3. And the devil said unto Him, if you be the Son of God. But it's our Lord Jesus in His humanity that's going to be tempted. It's going to be tried. You see, God cannot be tempted with evil. Ain't that right? It's what the Scripture says. Over in James chapter 1, God cannot be tempted. God cannot be enticed with evil. So our Lord Jesus Christ is God. He could not be tempted with evil. And you see, it's flesh, it's human nature that's tempted. It's human nature that's enticed. It's human nature that has to deal with the devil. It's human nature that has to fight the battle with him. And so this shows us how truly human, how much of a man, how truly human our Lord Jesus Christ was. But He was tempted. And the Scripture says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Yet without sin. Look over in Hebrews 2 with me just a moment. You know, and let me tell you something. Here's the thing. Our Lord's temptation here was so intense. The temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ was so intensely real because of His sinless nature. That's why it was so grievous to Him to go under the wrath of God. So grievous to Him and so hard on His flesh when He says, if thou wilt, let this cup pass from me. It's His humanity. It was the thought that I'm going to be separated from God, that I'm going to be made to be sin, that I'm going to have sin put on me, that I'm going to bear it. And here His sinless humanity, because of His holy nature and His pure nature, His temptation was intensely real. You know, if you got gasoline, you know, you don't have to be real close to fill it. Just take the lid off of gasoline and put it in a real small area. Let the spark get to it. Just from the fumes. Now that's all the devil's got to do to me and you. We shut up. We got all kinds of fumes. Strike a match. But our Lord Jesus Christ, not that way. Look here at Hebrews 2 in verse 14. Oh, it's the Lord Jesus that's being just Jesus in His humanity. It's that seed of the woman. For as much then as the children, that's you and I, are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood. Whatever the children was, He became. That through death, through dying, He would destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Now what does he mean, have the power of death? The power of frightening us and scaring us and taking us to hell. That we would spend eternity in hell. And that awful fear of separation from God. The one who would come and tempt us. That's why our Lord says, don't fear him who can destroy the body, but after that can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so he said, and he had the power of death. That is the devil. He destroyed destroyed his power and saved them, delivered them, who through fear of death, being rejected of God, being separated of God, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily or truly, he took not on himself the nature of angels. An angel is an eternal being. An angel is a created being. An angel is one who didn't create, can't create. He's at the beck and call of God Almighty. But he took on him not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Identified with Abraham's seed. Wherefore, in all things, watch this, it behooved him. It was essential to him, necessary to him, to be made like unto his brethren. Whatever we're like, that's what he was made. Sin accepted. That he might be merciful. Oh, he can have mercy on us. Because he was one like us. And faithful. High priest. And oh my, here's where we need a merciful and faithful high priest. In things pertaining to God. And merciful and faithful to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. Amen. Now watch him. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. It was suffering for him to be tempted. Suffering. He is able to succor them that are tempted. Oh my. You see his humanity here? He was the one. It's the Lord Jesus that was tempted. It was him that was tempted. In his humanity. In his sinless nature. In his holy, glorious nature. Now look at the nature of his sin. Or the nature of this temptation here. Back over in Luke chapter 4. Look at the nature of it. You see, he's tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. You see, the nature of this temptation or the enticement of the devil could only be from without. It could only be from without. Satan could find nothing in him to work with. He could not find a sinful nature. He could not find a desire to do wrong. He could not find a desire. He could not find an imagination to work with.
No.
Like you and I've got. He didn't find a will against God like you and I've got. He didn't find an ability to desire anything other than holy, sinlessness, purity, perfection, and obedience. That's why our Lord says, the Satan's coming, the prince of this world coming, and hath nothing in me. He's going to come and he can find nothing in me. Now he can search us and he can find plenty to work with in you and me. In fact, we got enough in us and he don't have to bother us much. It's like old Barter said, he don't even know we exist 9 out of 10 times. You know, we got enough of our old fallen nature. From within, out of the heart, proceeds what? Evil thoughts. I heard a preacher preach the other day. He said, if you want to start cataloging sins, which one would you put at the top of the list? Where would you start? You'd start with adultery, probably. Or drunkenness. But our Lord Jesus started out evil thoughts. Just to think evil. And then pride. Oh, he got lots to work with us. But oh, listen, they didn't have nothing in him. Satan could find nothing in him. And I'll show you. Look what he did here in verse 3. He tempted him in one of the most weakest spots he had. He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said, I know what I can do. I'll get him. He said, this is where I got Eve. You know, I tempted her to eat of the fruit of the tree. I said, it ain't going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt you at all. It's going to make you wise. It's going to make you like God. Well, Satan said, if you are the Son of God, if you're who you say you are, if you're who God said you are, and you've got all this power and authority, you command this stone that it may be made bread. Huh? Oh, he was hungry. He was hungry. And let me tell you something. Here's what our Lord said. He shows us something that there, He shows us that there's something more precious than just bread in this world. And our Lord answered and said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone." Now man's got to have bread to live. But that's not the only thing he's going to live by. It's not the only thing he needs to try to live by. It's not the only thing that's necessary for him to live by, but by every word of God. You see, beloved, our Lord Jesus said it was his meat. Jeremiah said it was honey to his taste. Job said he esteemed it more than his necessary food. Our Lord says that eternal life was found in the Word. He says, "Search ye the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me."
Yes, sir.
Now you see, nothing wrong with getting bread. Nothing wrong with having bread. But it's how it's obtained. Our Lord could have done that very easily. But then he would have gave in to Satan's temptation.
Yeah.
He would have manifested power just to do something for himself. And he never manifested his power to do anything for himself. All the power he manifested was for somebody else.
Amen.
He fed the multitude when they was hungry, but he wouldn't feed himself when he was hungry. Ain't that right? And Eve, she wasn't even hungry. And she ate. And oh my, then he tempted him to worship, to glorify himself, bring honor to himself in a way that wasn't honoring to God. And he says down here in verse 5. "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." And let me say something right here. I read a lot of men about this. And they believe, all of them believe, you know, that no power could be given unto anybody unless it was first given to them from heaven. Now, ain't that right?
That's right.
They really believe, and they that Satan, Christ submitted himself to this temptation in such a way. And God gave Satan the power, just like he did over Job, to take our Lord Jesus Christ and either go through the air or to walk. And actually take him to this mountainside. And actually take him and up to this pinnacle in Jerusalem. That they were actually there physically. That he had this power. God gave him this power. God led him to have this power. And the Lord Jesus, you think about the submission. You think about the humiliation. You think about the willingness to obey His Father. You think about the suffering He went through to allow Himself to be done this way. Satan took Him up under a high mountain. And then when He got Him up there, showed Him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And that moment of time, I read today, that's less than a second. Not much more than a twinkling of an eye. So just an illusion come by the mind of Christ. Just a temptation, an enticement, just like that. "And the devil said unto Him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them. For that's delivered unto me, and I give it to whomsoever I will." You see, here's what the devil does. If he could get a feller up high, and that's what he wants. He tries to take us up high. And the higher he gets somebody, the greater his fall. And pride always goeth before a fall, and haughty fear before a destruction. And oh my, here he come and worshiped him, and he says, "Oh, there's an easier way." And he says here to him, said, "If you will, there, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Worship me, and I'll give you all this." And what he's saying, "Thy Lord, there's an easier way to get all the kingdoms in this world than by going to a cross, than by dying, than by suffering. You can have it all without going through all of that." Huh? That's the same thing that Simon Peter told him. That's why our Lord said, "Get thee behind me," said. Same thing he told Simon Peter. Simon Peter said, "Oh, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't have to do that. That's not necessary." And oh my. And he come to our Lord and says, "You know, see all this? I'll give you all the glory of it." He did not know that all the glory was already his. that He was the maker of it and the creator of it.
Amen.
The sustainer of it.
That's right.
And oh my, He's the liar and the father of lies. This is how He deceived Eve. He said, you'll be as gods. You'll be as gods. And that's what men are thinking today. Their free will makes them gods. Their works make them gods. Their prayers make them gods. They can stand up and say, Father, I command you in Jesus' name. Oh, my soul. Our Lord never even commanded God. He says, Father, if you will.
Amen.
Oh, my. You see, the kingdoms wasn't His to give.
No,
they weren't delivered unto Him.
No.
The Father gave all things to the Son. And what He was telling him here is the world don't need saving by blood and death. You don't have to suffer. All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and it'll all be yours without having to go to that cross. Without suffering, without bearing sin. You can rule the world without doing that. You see, that was the very thing that the Jews rejected Christ for, because they wanted Him to rule over them without a cross. That's why they stumbled over. But oh my, don't let Him deceive you or me or anybody else this way. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If our sin is going to be put away, there's got to be death. There's got to be a sin bearer. There's got to be a sacrifice. For a kingdom of God to be set up on this earth and set up in the hearts of men and women, there's got to be a king, and He's got to establish His kingdom in righteousness. Righteousness, and the righteousness of God is by putting away sin and saving His people justly so. And whatever a man may think he has in this world, just like this illusion that the devil gave our Savior here, whatever you think you have, it'll be an illusion.
All right.
It'll be an illusion. Whatever you think you may have, if you don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be an illusion. And you'll learn that when a man faces the King of Kings. And that's why our Lord says, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. Same thing He said, told Simon Peter, get behind me. Get behind me. That's where your place is at. Not by my side. Not equal with me. Not even close. Behind me.
Yeah, that's right.
Put Him on a chain. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That's the first commandment. The very first commandment. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And oh, if you're going to serve anybody in this world, and everybody's going to have a master to serve. And that's why our Lord said you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. And He says there's only one you can serve. And then look what He done. Look what He done with our Savior. Look what He done. Well, here we go. He wanted Him to destroy Himself. Look, He said, He brought Him to Jerusalem. Then He took Him from that mountain and brought Him over to Jerusalem. That's the holy city. The Jews call it the holy city, and 99% of Christians calls it the holy city. And there's this great tabernacle. There's the temple. And there's a pinnacle, 120 meters high, if I remember my reading right. Had this great, great pinnacle with a turret around it up there. And He went up there high. And this is where James, our Lord's brother, the same one mentioned in the book of Acts. This is where the Jews took Him up there. When they was going to destroy Him and kill Him, you know what they done? They took Him up there and threw Him off. That's the death He suffered as a martyr. Our Lord's brother, James. You know, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, and also met the Lord's brother, James, and spent a certain time with him in Jerusalem. Well, that's what they did. Took Him to the same place and threw Him off. Well, He took Him up. Took Him way up high on that pinnacle. Set Him on the temple, that holy place. That place where the worship of God is the Shekinah glory of God's to be. And said unto Him, if you be, and He always said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. Oh, And I tell you what, he says, for it's written. See, the devil uses the scripture too. That's why he comes as an angel of light. He used the word in Genesis. He used the word all the way through the scriptures. In many, many places he uses the word. And he said, it is written. He's quoting here from the 91st Psalm. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Huh? And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. In other words, they'll keep you from stumbling or falling or anything befalling you in any way while you're in this world. And oh my. Oh boy. And he says, the Lord will catch you. You jump off from here, the Lord will catch you. He told you he would. He promised you he would. He said he would. He said he had angels just waiting. When you jumped off of there, by the time you hit the ground, they'll come swooping in and they'll pick you up. They ain't fixed to let you hit the ground. They won't even let you stub your toe on a stone. Oh, my. And our Lord's answer said, well, that's right. That's right. That's what it says now. Our Lord answering said unto him, it is written, or it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where that's coming from. You're right. You're right. That's so. You quoted scripture, and the scriptures is true. But I'm not going to put myself in a position where I force God to save me. That's what he's saying. That tempt God. That tempting God is putting yourself in a situation presuming that he's going to save you in that situation. And our Lord is not presumptuous. I'll jump off here, the Lord, I presume he'll... That'd be like you standing out in the tornado coming at you. Say, I'm going to stand here, and if the Lord don't want me to get killed by this tornado, he'll save me. And if he don't, I'll just die. Well, you're a fool when you do that. That's tempting the Lord. That's presuming that God... Find you a hole. Get as far in the ground as you can get. Ain't that right? God, look what God done all. It's what destroyed Job's children. A tornado come through there and destroyed all their houses and killed their children. A whirlwind. Huh? And he says, I'm not going to put myself in a position and presume upon God that he'll catch me. I'll not presume he'll catch me if I jump. I'll not presume he'll stop me if I cast myself down. And what he said was, don't put yourself in a position that you know that you're a fool to be in and trust God to get you out of it. Ain't that right?
That's
don't tempt God. Don't, you know, God said, try me. Claim his promises. But I'm not going to get on this building up here and say, now, I'm going to go up there on that building, and if we can get 150 people in the service Sunday, I'll get up on that building, I'll preach a message, and then I'll jump off. That's what our Lord said. He said, oh, God will catch you. And that's what he'll tell us. Oh, I know you. You know, if you get in that place, in that situation, the Lord's a faithful. He'll come and get you out of it. Not if you put yourself in a situation that's contrary to his word. He may let you wallow there for a little while. You know that? Oh, my. So listen, don't do that. And then let me quickly say this. Look who the tempter is. He's the devil. The devil. Tempted of the devil. The devil said. And this tells us that just as our Lord Jesus Christ is a person, the devil is a person. He has a personality. He is an actual person. That's why our Lord's omniscient. Satan's not omniscient. He's a person. He's going to be one place at a time. He couldn't be here and somewhere else like our Lord could be, like God could be. And he has great power. And you know what his greatest power is? Is delusion. Is delusion. To delude you. To delude us. He uses deceit. He uses guile. He uses pride. He uses lies. And he won't come right out and say a lie. It's like an old Scottish man. He's going through an art gallery one day, and they showed the devil there, and all red and cloven hooves and a pitchfork, you know, and a long tail with a fork on the end of it. And he said, "Yon devil yonder, that yon devil like that would never fool me. How he would get me is if he come as an angel of light. Oh, if he come like that, we'd all recognize him. But that's not the way he comes. He comes with delusions. He deludes you into thinking that you can be certain ways and think certain ways and act certain ways and get by with certain things. He uses deceit. He'll tell you that you'll be happier over there, that you'll have more over here, that you can do better in this situation. And he'll take your pride, make you think, oh my, I can handle this, I can deal with this, I can accomplish that. And oh my, the wicked and deceit that's already in a person, he uses that. And that's why he sees the strong man armed. That's what he done to that rich fool. He made him think, you know, he deluded him to thinking, boy, I tell you, I've got everything I ever need for the rest of my life. He had plenty of bread, had plenty of money. But he didn't have Christ. Satan deceived him and deluded him and used deceit and used what was natural to him to overthrow him and take him to hell. Huh? He loved money, gave him plenty of it. He loved big houses and barns, gave him plenty of them. He loved ease, he said, soul, now take your ease. And God said, fool. Huh? Oh, he's the God of this world. Look what he done to Esau. He enticed him. He said, what good's a birthright going to do me if I die? That's when you need it, when you're dying. Yeah. Ain't that right? You don't need it. That's when the birthright's when you need it, when you're dying. And oh my, he's the God of this world. And everyone outside Christ is his slaves. And oh my, the fight of faith. Let me show you this. I'm sorry I'm taking so long on Wednesday night, but look here at the fight of faith. Look at the means our Lord used to battle the devil. Satan used the word. Satan used enticement. Satan used deceit. Satan used delusions to the mind. But our Lord used what we have to use, the Word of God. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. See, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The foundation of our faith is what? Thus saith the Lord. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. And oh, fight the good fight of faith. But there ain't but one thing to fight it with, and that's this right here. That's the only thing you can fight it with. That's why we need to take it and learn it. Hide it in our hearts. Know it. Faith cometh by the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. And look at the victory in verse 13, and I'm through. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, all the enticement, he departed from him. Not forever. No. For a season. And he'll come to us. And I'll tell you something, beloved. We're no match for him. We and you are no match for him. And I am sure thankful my Savior met him head on and whipped him. And I say, Savior, please, please, don't let him turn him loose on me. Don't turn him loose on me. I got enough weakness in my flesh. Don't turn the devil loose on me. Please don't do that. Our Father, our gracious, gracious Father, thank you for allowing us this wonderful time together. And Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for suffering such humiliation, suffering to be tempted in such a way. And thank you for showing us that you defeated him, you overcame him, that you're sinless, that your holy nature would not allow you to fall, that you couldn't sin. And thank you for showing us how we're to overcome by the Word of God. Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus. We love you. We need you. And we acknowledge you. Blessed be your holy name. Amen.